What a wonderful, listen, it's been a long time since I've been any more intrigued and blessed. Just the looks on your faces and just one rose and I guess five thorns. I can't see any, well, I didn't see you back. I saw your hair once, Alexander, but it was wonderful. A wonderful meal today at the pastor's house Pastor, you and your bride rock. Amen. It's been good to be here. Thank you, Dudley. As always, a blessing. Jim, friends of mine. I don't know what I'd do without you. I do without you most of the time, but I don't know what I'd do without you. Just good to know you're somewhere in the world. My friends. It's been a great day. What I'm going to do is get hit by a pitch ball and get on, and Dudley's going to knock me in. Let me say a word about the books, if yes, they're here. These are amazing things here. In these packages are two MP3s with 100 sermons on them. Each 200 sermons. These represent, and one other set, and they're gone. This is number three. This is number two. Number two and number three. And he listened to 30,000 sermons in about 35 years and distilled what he thought to be among the very best he ever heard. And we put a bunch of those on iPods and we listened to them. This one has 100 sermons on heaven and hell. So if you've got travel time back and forth, or you have time to listen, you'll be blessed by those, and those are $25 each. And so help yourself to them. Leave a little money as you leave. And let me just say something about this one. This is one of my favorites. It's very deep. Do you know what adults are? They're obsolete children. And some of you adults can even understand this. This is actually written for men. Because I wrote a book for men some years ago. In fact, Pastor has a copy of it. And it is a whatever husband should know and wished he knew where to ask. Nobody wanted to know it and nobody asked. So it died in the first printing. And I discovered that men cannot read. Can't, don't, same result. So I wrote a book for men who can't read. Actually, it has a sentence on this side and a picture on this side. So you women may want to buy this for your husband, put it on the bedstand or somewhere where visitors will think he can read. And it's called Which Being Interpreted Means. It's a takeoff, a parody on how Christians talk. Over here is this is what you heard. Over here is a cartoon denoting this is what was meant. Which being interpreted means. Some of the most interesting are said in church. Pastor, your sermon was warm and moving. Which being interpreted means. Your sermon was not so hot and made me want to go out to the parking lot. And there are others, and you'll enjoy them. I think one of my favorites is, your sermons are like manna to me, which being interpreted, they're dull and dry and tasteless. I'm sick and tired of them. And they rot after 24 hours. So that may be what they meant after all, Brother Mark. One of my favorite books is the book on prayer. I called it Prayer, Life's Limitless Reach. Can you believe that in your hand and heart and in your mouth is a gift that can move heaven to earth any time of day or night, and it is limitless in its reach? Prayers are circling your heads that were prayed 1,000 years ago, and yours can last. And it is the true limitless reach of the soul. Book on prayer, Life's Limitless Reach. Let me give this to somebody who will read it, with it. Can I there throw it back there? Move out one of you. Okay, yeah, just take it to them. Okay, good. I'd kill three people. You want this one?
Sure.
Good, okay. Good catch. I don't think you were introduced to Charlie and Dottie Green, and wonderful friends of all three of us, and have made such a contribution to our. So y'all stand up, will you? Charles and Dottie traveled 7 hours to get here. It's been a long time since we've all of us have been together. Well, it's been a wonderful time. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us and for treating us like kings and queens, our women, and you have blessed us enormously. I just want to do something tonight. I really do. I want to tie my part up by just talking to you about some wonderful things about the kingdom. I want you to be enamored with it. I'm obsessed with it. I'm astonished. I'm amazed. And I'm so astonished and amazed that I think you ought to be. And some of you got a long way to go. I'm looking at you. Be astonished. Number one, we got a story to tell nobody else has got. And we'll never stop telling it. And it covers everything. And it's real, and it's now, and it's then, and it's always. So I'm not a little intrigued with the kingdom of God. And so I'm astonished. The more I discover of it, the more astonished and amazed I am. I'm astonished that there is such a God as ours, that He finds you and me radiant and appealing and attractive to Himself and wants to reveal Himself to you. I'm astonished. I'm astonished that there is such a kingdom as this, that He is a Father and a King. Had He wanted something besides a family, He'd have called Himself something besides a father. But He is a Father, and the Father is the King. And the King is the Father, and what we've been talking about is the family business, and you are an heir of it, and it has been given to you already. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm astonished that the kingdom is huge. It's bigger than we thought. It's bigger than we can think. It's bigger than we can imagine. We will be exploring its hugeness down into, how do you say it? Not through, into, all the way through eternity. We will be celebrating, never stopping to stopping celebrating the kingdom of God. It is infinite in its meaning, infinite in its righteousness and peace and joy. It is eternal. It never ends. It never stops growing. It is the eternal now. It is right now, and you can participate in it. You and I can be used to share it and declare it and extend it. I want to give you five things I'd like for you to remember. I'll let you write them down, give you time if you will. This is just a list of five things that Robert Farrar Capon says are the summation of the message of the parables. Number one, the kingdom of God is at work in every way, everywhere, all the time. That's somehow thrilling to me. A couple of the parables speak of that, the issue of the leaven, and there are others that remark of it. Number two, this kingdom is a mystery. Not a mystery hidden from us, but hidden for us. And you can know more about it as you seek it. It is at work in every place, in every way, all the time. It is a mystery. It has innate power and energy. That's the reason that when Jesus sent them out to preach the message of the kingdom, there was power in the preaching of it. There is power in the very message itself. And it cuts its own way. and God shows up. They came back amazed. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. So it has its own innate power and energy, the very power of God. World systems, this is number four, world systems are hostile to it. Hostile to it. You're going to find a sharp projection of the enemy's hate when you start preaching the kingdom. You gave him, when you said yes to the king, a very bad hair day, and he's not getting over it anytime soon. So expect that. You say, oh, that's bad news. No, it's not. God will use the enemy to underline and spotlight and in every way enlarge the benefits and the power of the kingdom. World systems are hostile to it. And finally, it demands a response from us in the anti-kingdom world. Let me say them over again. And I go through these in my heart every day. Number one, it is at work everywhere in every way all the time. It is a mystery, number two. It has innate power and energy, number three. Preaching of the gospel is the power of God. World systems are hostile to it. Remember that. Remember that. It demands a response from the anti-kingdom world. Though I have found it, I am still enjoined to seek it. Both its existence and increase will never cease. I'm a part of it now. Actually, in God's eyes, I've been a part of it and have never been an unpart of it. I will ever be a part of it. 1 billion years, if time were measured, we will still be in the kingdom, praising God for it, with a fuller knowledge, all the time growing fuller. By my authentic identity, I am a kingdom conqueror. One day, all the kingdoms of the world will collapse and become a part of the kingdom of God. When I seek it, I will see it. I will experience it. Words cannot describe it. Words won't work. I see something different every time I look, and I am benefited every time I see what I see. When I'm sad, I experience unending joy when I bask in kingdom truth. When I'm cast down, I see ultimate encouragement. When I'm bored and excited, I'm stimulated by it. When I am confused and divided, I am united by it. When I am overwhelmed, I am settled by it. When unsure of what is first, I am focused by it. When feeling too large for my britches, I am properly sized by it. When earth's bigness impresses me, I am astonished by how big my God is. The kingdom is a government. The kingdom is a family. The Bible tells about it. It is the only consummate truth. It is everything. If it is anything, and it is everything, it is a relationship, a supernatural, many-faceted relationship. The church is a colony of kingdom people living in kingdom unity, believing and expressing kingdom truth, walking in kingdom authority and power to bring people to experience heaven on the way to heaven. So we learn that prayer is not just a religious exercise that could be boring, but it is the means of consulting headquarters on a regular basis to get fresh orders and to experience the power and capacity to bring heaven down to where we are. Salvation becomes, in face of the kingdom, the restoration of man to his intended, original humanity, so that he may walk once again, re-enthroning the God of heaven in a human heart and exhibiting the power to walk in the house of God, changing the cultures around us. So the kingdom is something else. I need to tell you this. The kingdom is not just a place. It is a place. It's not a place. Yeah, it's both. It's a thing. It's a living thing. It's not just a cold government. It is the heartbeat of God. It is God's big house, God's great idea. It is the rule of God over everything and everybody, everywhere. The ultimate reality. You see, reality is not measured by visibility or tangibility, but by permanence. And the kingdom is not only permanent, but it is everywhere in every way. It's indestructible, will never end, and will continue to grow. You'll always be a part of the kingdom. One of these days, you're going to lay down and drop everything off that limits you from being in the kingdom all the time with all the power of the King flowing through you. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Dudley tells us that the earth is going to be renewed, and it's pretty good now in most places. This is one of the prettiest places in the world, but it'll be even prettier when God gets through, and He'll never be through. And my estimation is, and I'll try to overshoot it if I can, when we give way to eternity, when time and life as we know it here is no more, we're going to be something else. We're really going to rock. We're going to travel at the speed of thought to the far-flung universes. God made nothing that He didn't intend to use to His purpose. I don't know whether we'll live there or not, but we'll get to go there and view all the renewed heavens and this great renewed earth. And I want to keep some property here to go weekends and just hide away. And I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. I begun to try to study how big this outfit is. We know now that a little globule of light that you'll see tonight, if the stars are out, if the clouds don't cover them, a little globule of light that they used to think was a fading, dying star is a cluster of galaxies, all of them much larger than our Milky Way, and that the light from that started at approximately 1 billion light years ago. Light travels at the speed of thought, 186,282 miles an hour, a second in a vacuum, and that's a fur piece, and that's fairly speedy. I don't know who put the speedometer on it, but it's huge, and we figured it out. Light travels approximately 5.90 billion trillion miles a year. That's a long way, give or take a few billion. And it's big, it's huge. But we will be traversing the universe at the speed, not of light, but of thought. Isn't that wonderful? You know what we'll be doing? We will be tending to family business, the family business. I don't know what we'll be doing, but I can tell you it's a whole lot more exciting than what you're doing now. So the kingdom is reality. The kingdom is cosmic. That is, it involves all forms of life, seen and unseen. Sagan, before he died, defined the cosmos as all that is. Well, it means more than what he thought it meant. All that is all that is, and all that was when he died, there was more than what he saw. He's seeing it now. I don't know from where, but he's getting a picture of how big it is. And so, the planets, the galaxies, the nebulae, the systems, all of them a part of the kingdom of God. Could I ask you a question? What was your problem? What was your problem? Well, I can't pay all my bills. A little old speck on a little bigger speck, and you can't pay your bills. And this God owns everything. You might ought to consult Him. He may know something about it. And He might just set you straight and give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory that nothing can lay aside and destroy. The kingdom of God is personal, meaning that every redeemed person has citizenship in it. The fact is that in its in its primary scope, it is the rule of God over everything. In its personal scope, it is the rule of God in you, making you a mini king in a mini kingdom. And when you get together with other mini kings in their kingdoms, you enlarge the kingdom here in time. And finally, we'll all join together in one glorious kingdom. That's where you're headed. You might ought to get used to each other, because you're going to have to mix pretty well with us all in time unlimited, which is eternity. Kingdom of God has come, is coming, and is here now. In considerations of the kingdom, there is a was and a now and a not yet. It is now. But that doesn't keep the best from being the not yet. But it doesn't put any damper on what is. The reason people are not excited about the kingdom, they're not seeing anything like it now. But you smell of the kingdom and experience the kingdom and know the joy and the unbridled delight of experiencing the King who wants to interface with you. And you'll get more excited about the kingdom that is to be. So you ought to get excited about it. So I'm going to give you 2 or 3 seconds just to kind of tell yourself. Just don't sit there stupid looking. Just get excited. That's good. That's good. That's fair. I mean, for novices, that's all right. That's a good start. And just look at Dudley and me and the pastor and a few others and Jim. And just say, I think those old fellows are excited. Well, young fella and 3 old fellows. Excited. So if you can't get excited on your own, I realize you got a lot of burdens, a lot of problems, and it's a tough life, and I know it. Just get excited on our excitement till you can find excitement of your own. And then you won't have wasted the time between now and then, okay? So, this is not going to do you much good, but I just love to do this. The kingdom of God is undefinable, uncontainable, unexplainable, undebatable, unassailable, unshakable, unbreakable, uncontrollable, unlimited, unchanged, unchanging, unchecked, unbounding, unlimited, unmanageable, ungovernable, unbended, unbeaten, uncharted, undeniable, undamaged, unequal, uncompromising, and uncompromisable, untold and untroubled, unimpeachable, underrated, unrestricted, unified and unifying, and absolutely unquestionable. As God is the God of this kingdom, His kingdom, He is both King and kingdom, can be personally known, received, enjoyed, declared, and demonstrated, both in time and beyond. Both He and His kingdom can be embraced, experienced, expanded, and you can try to explain it, but it's unexplainable by His continuing power through His servants. He is building the real church. Just never mind, don't worry about how He's doing it. But He's doing it, and you can help Him. Because right after He said, on this rock, what rock? On His authentic identity as the Son of the living God and the Christ, He said, on this rock, I'll build my church. And I told you 3 things about it. Number one, it is His. It's not yours. It's not Mark's. It's not ours. It is His. And He has committed Himself to the responsibility of building it, which He is doing right now. And so it's His. He's building it. And hell cannot stop it. So when you arrive at being His church, which in my estimation, you're on your way to. We've seen some diseases defeated. I was there the night that Lee was healed. I read the book this week of the resurrection of Lonnie. Thank you for coming back to life, Lonnie, wherever you are. I read it. I was just a bit below, weeping openly as I read the book, thinking, it happened, and I see this man. And he's going to be a crowd someday soon, because people are going to not be afraid of death. They're going to question it. If you're coming on God's errand, you just come right on. Welcome. But if you're not, get the hell out of here. Okay? All right? So I was there. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that something was going to happen. When the team walked in that night in Gateway Church in Fort Worth or in the DFW area, here was a man standing, trembling, unsteady on a cane, and the pastor had told me he was going to be there, and I saw him, and he looked a fright, and I turned back, and I said, Lee, God's going to do something wonderful for you tonight. Why did I say that? I don't know. I just said it. And because God knew he was going to do it and whispered it in my ear, and I just said it. And he got stronger every night. And you remember when he came home? You didn't know he was going to do it. Got up and ran around the church three times, and he couldn't run to the next chair before he left. So I'm glad to be a part of the kingdom like that, aren't you? The meaning of time is connected to the eternal purposes of God, and you ought to get all you can out of it before time expires. Learn about it, and this is what I'm going to challenge, and then I'm going to pray for you if you desire to be prayed for. I want to challenge you to seek the kingdom. Jesus said of nothing else, seek this first. Seek this first. I want to challenge you to seek it first. Well, can you tell us what that means? Not really. I can tell you that I think it means to look for it and expect to see it. Only those who seek it see it. And when you begin to see it, you'll have a craving to see more. And you'll never get enough. And there's a catch in that you ought to know about. Jesus knew it, and he's unashamed. He wasn't hiding anything. But he knew that when you started looking for it, you would find enough of it to start filling your life, and soon, like the rock that fell out of the mountain that soon filled the whole world, the kingdom of God will fill your whole world. Now look, listen to me closely, and I'll be finished in 5 minutes. You, right now, can so decide to follow Jesus' command and seek the kingdom first, I guarantee you your life will never, ever be the same. People will want to study the kingdom when you walk in. You're going to learn more about the kingdom, some of you, in the next 7 days than you've learned heretofore in all of your life. If you want it, it's yours. And I want to tell you, it's getting to where, and it'll get more so, to where if you're looking for anything else, you just might find it and be terribly disappointed, but you won't look for anything as great as the kingdom. So I want to challenge you to search for it. But you say, well, I've done that before, and when the week is out and 3 or 4 days have gone, I've already begun to backslide on it. I'm going to pray for you tonight. I believe, and I have evidence that it's working. I believe that if you want to be prayed for, I have authority on God's promise to pray for you, that God will give you an undying, increasing anointing to pursue the kingdom, and that he'll put something in your mind, in your being, that will draw you in everything that happens into seeking the kingdom. I want you to be a kingdom seeker, because all kingdom seekers are kingdom finders. And you'll be a part of an atmosphere to preach, to declare, to seek the kingdom is to seed an atmosphere with the power of God. People can walk into that atmosphere and be healed and saved and encouraged, and pain will drop away from them. That will happen, and it will happen more than you can imagine. It is forever. Forever. Never has not been. Never will not be. At this present moment, it is. God is saying to you, in your pain, in your disappointment, I am. Your response is to say, you really are. And the world will watch, and what happens between you and God and around you, because you have bought in, they'll say, you know, he really is. I am, you are, he is. Now let me tell you something real exciting. Oh, I just did. Everything that has happened to you to now was engineered of God to bring you to the highest level of the expression of human life on this planet. You should never be less joyful than you are right now. Never less excited than you are right now. Nothing can happen to take away the assurance of the kingdom. For about 11 or 12 years, it's been my obsession. I go to sleep thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. I dream of it. I feel like I know about that much, and I'm about that much inside of it. And I think God has to measure it to keep me from screaming my way through downtown, excited, intrigued, consumed with the kingdom of God. I'm 75 going on 76. I intend to live to be 100. If I don't, I'll be slightly disappointed and share that with him and then get on with business for eternity. But I want to pray for people right now who would say, you know, I want an excitement about the kingdom. I give myself to be a kingdom seeker. I want you to pray for me that I may have an anointing to seek and study and embrace and try to explain and experience and express and expand the kingdom. You are destined to be a kingdom expander. Can you believe this? It'll change your personality. I'm looking on the faces of some people that would be a welcome sight for those outside you. You look better excited than you do bored. Now, Dudley's about to bless you in a few minutes, and it's going to be a high hour, a high, wonderful time. And we'll be back, whether you invite us or not. We're coming. We want to see Mobile, a fire for God without being consumed. So that's what I want to do. I'm just going to pray for you about a minute. So would you stand up if you want this? Don't. You'll be so miserable if you don't want it and you get it. And it'll take God a week to beat all the dickens out of you. And then you'll really want it. So if you don't want it, sit down. All right, just reach your hands out like this. God, I can't tell you how precious it is that you had in mind for us when you made our forefather and mother. That you had in mind a kingdom. And since you happen to be sovereign, you're going to get it. You're going to get it for us, and you have. And we're in it, and we're going to grow in it. And it's going to become more and more and more and more real. I bless you for these precious people who've listened. And I pray right now for an undying anointing to pursue the kingdom. I pray that in the deepest of the circumstances they will face, you, the King and the kingdom, will become more precious to them. Help them not only to learn to declare it and explain it and embrace it, but to expand it and in every way experience it so to such a degree that others around them will say, teach me what you've got. I want what you've got. I lust for what you've got. So move among the young people. Move among the children. Lord, thank you that we must become as little children to experience the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the keys. You've given us the principles whereby your kingdom operates and given us the key to knowledge that we might know how to function the keys of the kingdom, opening and closing, permitting and disallowing. So, Lord, right now, right at this moment, there comes upon every desirous heart the ability and capacity to, with growing passion, seek the kingdom and do everything that can be done to see that that kingdom is expanded into every part of their lives, every reach of their minds, all through the areas of their responsibility and reach. And I give you praise for what's going to happen. I thank you that standing here tonight are people who in a month are going to know more about the kingdom by 10 times what they knew tonight when they said yes to you. Don't leave out the old folks. Lord, I pray that they'll dance like little children over the knowledge of being a part of the kingdom. I pray that you would blast every tradition, every issue from them, everything that they believe that they were taught by man and not God, that serves to keep them from pursuing the kingdom. So liberate them and unify their passions to seek your heart and your kingdom. And I give you praise right now. And the people said, I'll take it. I'll take it. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Y'all can be seated for just a moment. We're about to receive an offering. Did y'all get everything that Jack said, by the way? Did y'all get that written down? You know, it gets fresher every time. You know, I was thinking, Jack, as you were speaking there, I was listening and thinking, but I was thinking that one of the reasons why we can say greater things have yet to come, greater things are still to be done in the city, is because the nature of the kingdom is that it is continually increasing. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so if we didn't believe greater things were coming, we wouldn't be believing the kingdom. We wouldn't be seeing that for what it is. So I just felt like tonight, you know, also if you're there and, you know, if this is a challenge for you and Jack's talking about the kingdom and the bigness of the kingdom of God and the rule and reign of God, you know, if there's any hesitance and you say, well, I don't know if I can really believe that. I mean, I've got problems. What if I believe it and nothing gets fixed in my life? Well, first of all, what if it does? But secondly, here's the thing. Once you see it, the way Jack just presented it, it's amazing. As he was speaking, I thought, what other option is there? I mean, what are you going to do if you refuse, if we reject the kingdom? Do you think you're going to find something better? You know, is there anything else better out there? Let's just get into it and let God be God. Let me go ahead and receive an offering now.